Hello, and welcome to Stronger Together,
a podcast about strength, wellness, and navigating the hard things.
I'm Charlotte.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're yoga and mindfulness instructors who know that the path to wellness isn't easy.
And it's even harder without community.
We're here to offer real conversations,
raw and honest moments,
and to remind you that you're never alone.
So make yourself comfy.
And let's do it.
Because we are all stronger together. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. Have you ever considered yourself to be a highly sensitive person or sensitive in any way? In our culture, sensitivity seems to be viewed as something negative, but is it really? That's what we're going to talk about on today's episode. We'll be right back after this quick break.
Perfect.
Hi, Char. Okay.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm feeling tired today. I'm feeling a little, but also really excited to talk about this because I know you and I identify as HSPs.
Which is?
Highly sensitive people. So what the heck is that besides us?
I know that I was totally in a highly sensitive moment when I texted you and I was like, we need to do this episode.
Uh-huh.
Like how to not hate yourself when you're a highly sensitive person.
Yeah, because it's so easy to.
Yeah. And obviously that's like a super dramatic, you know, way to say that, but it's true. Like, I think that we are kind of conditioned to think that being sensitive is something negative. And I'm not really quite sure if it is. And I'm not really quite sure if, if that's the reason why I feel so like irritated when I'm feeling sensitive.
Yeah.
But let's define an HSP.
Yeah. So verywellmind.com defines an HSP, a highly sensitive person, as someone who's thought to have an increased or deeper central nervous system sensitivity to physical, emotional, or social stimuli. So it actually reminds me of three of the four pillars of wellness right away, being really sensitive to a bunch of different things and really taking things on in almost like a deeper way than other people.
Right. So if we look at like that physical sense, that can be an extra sensitivity to pain. Mm-hmm. I remember you told me that statistic about people with red hair, right?
Yeah.
You have a lower threshold for pain, right? Yeah, research that supports that.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I think about things like digestion and, prone to certain illness or aggravation or inflammation in the body. That definitely is something that I have battled with much of my, life.
Yeah. I also think, like being tired or depleted energetically is another one of those physical, symptoms.
Yeah. And then emotionally, you know, it's funny. I had a conversation with someone recently who just kept referring to their emotional sensitivity as something negative. And like each time they would do that, I'd stop them. And I actually shared the sentence frame that we share often so much on the pod. Like, it makes sense that I'm feeling sad given that. And it's like, are you really feeling sensitive or are you just processing emotions?
Yeah.
And if processing your emotions means that you're crying about something, is that something that we have to view as negative?
Right. No, not at all. Because we have this ability to cry like that. Just we're so gifted in the sense that we can experience emotion, all of the emotions. And I really, really, really hope that the conversations like we're having can help people reframe the mindset of things being negative, because it's not. Being sad is not negative. Right. It makes us feel sad, which is a different feeling than being happy, but it's not necessarily a bad thing.
Right. But feeling emotions so deeply when other people around you may not be can feel aggravating. And you can feel like, oh, I can't, why am I so sensitive? I'm so annoying. I can't stand myself.
Yeah. And then it becomes this comparative game
where
why am I so sensitive when this person is not even affected by this thing?
Right. Or you try to get everyone around you to feel and think the way that you think just to validate your own emotions.
Yeah.
Right. When really the only person who has to validate how we're feeling physically, emotionally, or socially is ourselves.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
And then that social one, definitely, I feel like big time.
Me too.
A sensitivity to social stimuli, social engagement. Mm-hmm. I have to really be mindful of the energy that I think that I'm receiving from the crowd, and also that I have to put out when I'm in a crowd. Does that make sense?
Totally. I feel the exact same way. And I thought for so long that I was alone in feeling this until like meme culture came out.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing this one meme that was like me after my social battery drains. And I just remember feeling so validated. Yes. Like, wait, other people have a social battery that drains?
Like there that?
This, yeah. There was this ongoing joke between my sisters and I think it was like my sisters, my boyfriend and I, that after 9 p.m., if I'm out in a situation, like my eyes just glaze over and it's just commonly accepted. It's like Charlotte has hit her wall. Like she's out. It's 9 p.m. She's done. And for so long, I was like, oh, like, why am I like this? But it's really comforting to hear people have these conversations, to see the memes and to just relate to other people in this way.
Yeah. And that's a big part of the reason why we wanted to bring this conversation to the podcast, because so that our listeners and our community, they know like, hey, you're not alone in being a highly sensitive person, whether you feel it in all three areas or just one. Mm-hmm. And just to feel that sense of belonging. Otherwise you could feel like I'm the only person who needs to go to bed at 9:00, but no, there's probably so many people listening who are like, I'm exactly like you, Charlotte.
Yep. 100%. And like a lot of times too, I feel like we don't even know that we're a highly sensitive person until we reach a certain, whether it's age or a certain thing that happens in life, where you just kind of like surrender to those needs that you have. Because I remember back in like my high school days, I could be out forever. Mm-hmm. I could be out, same thing in like my college days. I could be out till 12 and I would be fine. And now I'm like, woof, like it actually feels in my body a certain way if I'm not going to bed at a certain time. And I think that like for a long time, I was shutting myself off to actually experiencing that and feeling that because I wasn't very self-aware. And mm-hmm. I think this mindfulness practice increases our self-awareness big time, mm-hmm. which lets us feel things that we might have been numbing or ignoring or anything like that.
Which, let's be honest, sometimes that's annoying. Yeah. Sometimes like we are so acutely aware of our own feelings and emotions and reactions in the moment that it's like, oh,
yeah,
you know, and that's kind of why we want to talk about that, because this is part of the path that is challenging, because mm-hmm. you do feel things on a deeper level. You are aware of your own energy and the energy of others much more than before practicing mindfulness.
Yeah. And that can also come with this comparison of mm-hmm. how I am now versus how I used to be. And there can be frustration that follows this. Like, why can't I rally anymore? Why can't I go to a concert at 10 p.m. anymore? And it's like, well, because you just know yourself better now.
Why can't I eat pizza anymore?
Yep.
And then it's fun. And then it's like, did you feel this? Like you're out at 9:00 and you feel like you're going to lose it. Like if you don't go to bed any second, and then you're looking around and you're like, how does everyone else have all this energy?
Yep.
And then you feel like there's something wrong with you.
Yeah.
Because the crowd, the average person is fine.
Yeah.
But maybe they're not fine, right? Maybe they're not feeling great and they're just pushing through, or they're not at that level of self-awareness yet that they're used to feeling like garbage for 3 days after staying up late, and they've just accepted that as their normal.
Yeah, that's their normal. I was just going to mm-hmm. say that. Mm-hmm. It's, I don't know about you, but as somebody with, I don't want to say many, but a few like physical ailments, physical things mm-hmm. that I work through chronically, I have found myself so often comparing myself to other people in a sense of like, so I've got this genetic cholesterol disorder. And my baseline cholesterol levels are 2 times the amount of my peers. Mm. And so I, at one point, was eating this like strict vegan diet that was really, really like heart healthy. I'm putting air quotes around that because who knows at this point, but I was doing all the right things and my levels were still 2 times higher than my friend who eats pizza every meal, mm-hmm. like red meat,
McDonald's.
And I just remember like I was sitting at work one day and I got my blood test results back and my cholesterol levels were not ideal, obviously, because I have this genetic disorder. And I just remember like looking over my cubicle at one of my friends and just bursting out in tears, being like, why does this happen to me? Like, why can she do this? And I know that so many people feel this way about varying mm-hmm. things, whether it's health issues, whether it's, I don't even know, a bunch of other things, but we tend to compare ourselves and it can be really sad to do that.
I totally agree. And then you're at this place where instead of practicing this compassion for ourselves and this idea of acceptance and meeting ourselves where we are. We're like in this constant battle with ourselves, is wishing that we were different.
Yeah.
Right? Like wishing mm-hmm. that this wasn't my life, or wishing that this wasn't my digestion system, or wishing that I didn't have this, you know, genetic condition. Yeah. And that is exhausting. And what an unfortunate use of our energy, right?
Yeah.
Like looking at the negative sides of us, and maybe we can even like completely, I know we weren't going to talk about that today, but completely reframe it and look at this sensitivity as a gift. I mean, mm-hmm. that's like really the work, right?
Yeah.
But I don't even want to pretend like that's an easy thing, because it's not.
No, absolutely not. It's and it's also like, we've got a name that it's valid to feel the frustration,
right,
of being highly sensitive, because it's true. Like, we can't just go around gallivanting like other people, because we're all different. We all have different mm-hmm. needs. And especially mm-hmm. as somebody who identifies as an HSP, there are a bunch of things that we've got to be strategic in
right.
allowing ourselves to do or experience.
Yeah. And it's funny, because when you and I were doing that, a little bit of research preparing for this episode, it said there, right, while highly sensitive people are sometimes negatively described as being too sensitive,
mm-hmm.
it is a personality trait that brings both strengths and challenges.
Yep.
And I'll just speak to myself, for example. Like, there are certain foods that I can't eat because my body is super sensitive to inflammation.
Yeah.
So I have a choice, right? I can eat those foods
yep.
and feel like garbage for 3 days, or have this, you know, compounded inflammation that may lead to other issues in the body.
Yep.
Or I can look at that awareness and that input that my body is literally giving me in the moment, mm-hmm. right? And I can look at that as a strength, and I can go, wow, you know what? I'm feeling this message, I'm receiving this message from the body, and I'm immediately faced with a choice, right? To continue doing something that my body's unhappy with, or to find an alternative, you know, way of fueling my body. And that's been an ongoing trial and error, and I almost said battle.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it does feel like a battle, but definitely. I am still trying to reframe this work in my own mind.
Yeah. And it really causes us to make decisions based on how future us will feel. Mm. Because it is so easy to be like, you know what? I know that my body doesn't really want to eat this gluten right now, but my soul wants to do it. And guess what? Sometimes that's fine.
Sure.
Like, yeah. if we want to eat the birthday cake, the gluten, the sugar, and that fuels our soul, that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. But we're making that decision knowing that that decision might lead us to feeling XYZ down the line because we're sensitive to it.
Mm-hmm.
But choosing to live the life of avoiding or limiting, I don't want to say avoiding, limiting what we know hurts the body is a really powerful tool. That choice is a really powerful thing to connect us to our bodies, because mm-hmm. A lot of people live so disconnected from the body. I know I did for so many years that like, I don't even know what I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. So making that decision to limit and to honor the body and its choices and its messages can bring us so much more unity
right.
in totality, the mind, body, the soul.
And, yeah.
And it can be tough.
And that feels like yoga in action.
You know?
When we're finding that harmony and this understanding and this balance between effort and ease. We've talked mm-hmm. about that before. I also feel like empowered by it now, especially the social aspect of being a highly sensitive person, because now I can kind of like strategically make plans based on how I'm feeling and just being prepared for, okay, if I'm going to be in a situation, like for instance, tomorrow, the time that we're recording this, tomorrow I have to go to school back for superintendent's conference day, which means it's going to be a lot of people in one room.
Yep.
It's going to be a lot of energy. Let's be honest, there's going to be some people in there that are pissed off that school's back and
yeah.
not happy.
Yep.
And I feel very sensitive to that energy. I'm really excited to go back to school. I'm looking so forward to the school year. So like, I feel already like I'm getting protective of my own positivity.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to be infiltrated by somebody's like, school's back, da da da. I don't want somebody to be over, like that type of thing, because I'm so sensitive to it. So in preparation for that, I can expect that Thursday night, Friday, I'm going to need a little quiet time, a little downtime. just to kind of recover from that. And also to feel totally empowered that if somebody's energy is making me feel not in a good way, that I can excuse myself from the conversation. I don't have to be a part of it. I don't have to kind of engage in that social negativity that I am extra sensitive to.
Yeah. And how freeing is it to be able to make those choices to excuse yourself if you need to?
Yeah.
It's really cool.
I think the tough one is the emotional sensitivity, because it's kind of like there is where you have to be your best self advocate.
Yeah.
And stop apologizing for it, right? Yeah. And stop deeming yourself sensitive in a bad way, in a negative light. And, you know, maybe just telling people, I feel emotions very deeply.
Yeah.
And when I feel hurt, I really feel it. I feel it to the depths of my being. And like just sharing with somebody that like, this is how you feel. Not necessarily like you made me feel bad.
Right. Not blaming.
But I feel emotions on a really deep level. And, you know, being a special education teacher and working with students on the autism spectrum disorder or the autism spectrum or, you know, students in general, because part of being a highly sensitive person means that you might have sensory processing sensitivities or even a sensory processing disorder.
Yeah.
And just being like acutely aware that there are some people that navigate this world with a very sensitive central nervous system. And I have to, and I try to be really aware of the energy that I'm putting out into the world, because I know that can be challenging.
Definitely. I know it's conversations like these that can allow people to be that mindful, you know, imagine if more people were this mindful of other people's needs and our own needs.
Yeah.
I feel like we would just live in so much more harmony.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And it leads to like another question, that we can ask ourselves as highly sensitive people, like, backtracking a little bit, I think that sometimes there's, I don't want to say harm, but sometimes there's weight to describing ourselves as something. So if I'm saying I'm a highly sensitive person, sometimes I might lead with that quote unquote diagnosis, that, that quality of myself. And that can be my excuse or my, I'm going to stick with excuse. That can be my excuse for feeling a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
But there's this other question that we can ask ourselves. And it's like, am I being highly sensitive or am I just feeling?
Yes.
Because we have so often learned through the media, through growing up, to quiet our emotions and to tune it down to make other people more comfortable than us. And am I just feeling it? Or am I feeling it, you know, like more deeply than I quote unquote should?
Right. And maybe you're just feeling it accurately and everybody else is numbing and shoving. And, you know, we've heard, don't cry, don't be upset. We've heard all of, you know, we've been programmed to think that when we feel something, we should squash it down.
Mm-hmm.
And as we're kind of moving through this and finding, I feel like this renewal of accepting our own emotions and understanding ourselves on a deeper level. And I just feel like that I feel so grateful to be able to use this mindfulness practice to understand myself and others better.
100%.
Yeah.
And I love that you said, that you mentioned like explaining to people, listen, I feel emotions really deeply, because us saying that maybe perhaps opens the door for other people to explore that themselves.
Yeah.
Where it's like, she is feeling very happy or very sad. Like maybe I can open myself up a little bit more to experiencing those emotions.
Mm. Yeah. Maybe. It's like creating a culture for other people to embrace their emotions, their sensitivity, whatever that may be.
Yeah. Their fullness.
So what do you feel super sensitive to being an HSP? What's like something for you that you're like, oh my gosh, this is.
Definitely people.
People.
Yeah. Like, okay, there's a combination. So even the definition of an HSP, like I remember going back to school shopping when I was really young, maybe like elementary school, maybe middle school. And my mom took me and my sisters to the mall. And all we wanted was to go into Abercrombie to get clothes. And my mom would be like, yeah, my mom would give us the credit card and she would be like, okay, girls, you go in, or she would just send us in and say like, come get me when you're ready. She wouldn't go in the store. And I just remember me and my sisters would be like, why isn't mom coming into the store? Like, what the heck? And as I get older, I'm like, I will walk past Abercrombie with a boom, 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 mm-hmm. bumping music, the fragrance sprayed everywhere. And it's too much.
Too loud, too crowded, too dark.
Yes.
And too smelly.
Yes, definitely.
That's why I love Abercrombie.com.
Yeah, their clothes are cute.
I don't hate on Abercrombie. I just can't handle the stores.
Yeah, but I just remember, and it's really cool, side note, as somebody who's lost my mom, to see myself growing up to be like her in certain ways. I look at this like highly sensitive quality of myself as like a way to get closer to understand how my mom was a little bit more, but definitely like stores like that, the bump in music, very heavy fragrance, people all over the place, that. And then I'm also thinking, when I used to work in corporate America, my office with lack of windows and heavy fluorescent lighting. Oof. Lighting is a huge thing that makes me drained.
Yep.
That's need natural light.
I never put the overhead fluorescent lightings on in my classroom.
Yeah.
Ever.
No. Nope.
Natural light, twinkle lights, and lamps. Because and that's such an interesting thing. And I love this conversation. And I know we do have a lot of teachers that listen to the podcast, because here's the deal. You might not feel highly sensitive to fluorescent lighting, but children in your class most definitely do.
Yeah.
Children with sensory processing disorders, children with disabilities, or just anybody who identifies as a highly sensitive person will be highly affected by fluorescent lighting, but they might not know it yet and can't describe it. Mm-hmm. So how does that manifest? That can manifest in a lack of attention, irritability, behavioral issues, trouble focusing, all of those things, when literally all you have to do is turn out your lights and put on a lamp, you know? So I think that if we're going to navigate through this life as a compassionate person, which I hope we all do, acknowledging I might not be a highly sensitive person, but someone I love might be, or someone I teach might be, or somebody that I share an office with might be. So I'm going to do what I can to create an environment that's inclusive, instead of being like, suck it up, stop being so sensitive. Like that bravado that's just so obnoxious.
And just closes you off to truly connecting with people.
Yeah, totally. It's so funny. I thought you were going to say food.
Oh, yeah, food for sure. But I don't know. When I think about being a highly sensitive person, it's way more like fluorescent lighting.
Yeah.
The loud noises.
The social. The external social. Yeah. Because I know that you struggle with sensitivity, and you have like what you call food poisoning.
Yes.
Right. I think about that sometimes, like when you share, people must be like, what's Charlotte eating? She's always poisoning herself. It's really your body's reaction to what you eat. It's not like you're not going around eating E. coli all the time.
No, hopefully not.
Right.
But it's similar symptoms where my body will get chills and shakes and I'll throw up. It's just, and I don't know what it is yet that triggers it. I'm starting to keep a food diary, and knock wood, it hasn't happened in a while, but definitely food is a big one for me, as I know it is for you too.
It is for me as well. Yeah, it is. And it's funny because summer, and I was talking to my acupuncturist about this. So if people, listening, follow Chinese medicine or practice acupuncture, she was talking about this idea that we're all kind of running around this time of year at the end of summer with this excess of damp heat, and how it can really create things in the body and imbalance in the body. And for me, I feel it so much. I feel it in my digestion. I feel it in my energy levels. I feel it in my urinary tract. So I feel like there's been this time, these last few weeks, where I feel like I'm constantly hovering in this place of like feeling like I'm getting an infection.
Yeah.
And it's an awful feeling. And then like the next day I feel completely fine. And when I texted you, I'm like, we have to do the HSP episode. I was in that moment where I was feeling like, just like you said, like that about to get sick feeling.
Yeah.
Then meanwhile, I just have to like, be mindful of what I eat, get an acupuncture treatment, and like, then I feel really great and cleanse it out. But there's that, that idea of being empowered and understanding what it is that's affecting me and what I need to do to drain the damp heat from the body. Like all of that is just such a long process to figure out who we are. And like we've talked about in other episodes, wellness isn't easy.
No.
It's so easy to kind of give up on, but it's like once you have that glimpse of feeling well, you want to keep working for it and like not accept those 3 days of feeling like garbage after one meal.
Yeah. And we can just stop letting that be our norm. It doesn't, feeling like garbage does not have to be the norm.
Exactly.
It shouldn't be. Especially as highly sensitive people, we've just got to understand our needs and what steps to take when those needs arise.
Yep, exactly. It's funny because when we were doing a little bit of our research, it says there are several traits or characteristics that are common. So we think we talked a lot about that. Mm-hmm. But I know the first one, it says avoid violent movies or TV shows because they feel too intense and leave you feeling unsettled. That is 100% me. Shar, I can't even watch a trailer to a scary movie.
Aww.
And my husband knows. I'm like, turn it off. And if he doesn't turn it off, I get so upset because I'm like, you know, I'm so sensitive to it. It is crazy. I can't remember the last time that I watched a scary movie because I used to do it because I felt like I had to.
Yeah.
Because that's what everybody else was doing. And then I would be miserable and it would have like such a long lasting effect on me.
Yeah.
There are certain shows that I really enjoyed actually that I had to also stop watching. Just things around like violence or like an abuse of an imbalance of power, men, women, like things like that. Like I literally feel like this, like this tidal wave in my body. It's super, super intense. So that to me, I was like, oh yeah.
Check. And it's funny because, you know, like we said, I identify as an HSP and I love like murder shows.
You listen to those murder mystery podcasts. Yeah, I can't do it.
Yeah. And shows like Dexter, like those are my, you know, I definitely feel it, but I also enjoy it.
Yeah. I did watch Dexter back in the day, but like sporadically, not like, you know, probably just because of that. Like I would watch one episode, then I have to stop for 4 weeks.
Yeah. You've had enough. Your monthly dose of Dexter.
So this one I love too, because this to me does kind of maybe frame it in a positive way, but being deeply moved by beauty, right? Like just literally walking outside and seeing something and feeling like you're just going to bust out crying because it's just so beautiful, right? Yeah. Like whether that's expressed in art, nature, just another human making you feel that way.
Mm-hmm. I noticed that, I think the landscapers just got here. So if anybody hears a mowing in the backyard, that's why.
All our HSPs are like, what's that sound?
Yeah. Get me off. Something that I've noticed with myself, which I love about myself, this is one of my qualities that I'm just like really grateful for, is when I'm talking to people and they're telling me something good that's happened in their life, I will cry. I will tear up.
I know you do that. So
and like,
cute.
It's kind of like what you shared on your story or on your reel the other day about how you didn't even realize you were tearing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I definitely feel the happiness, but my body will just cry when people tell me good things because it's just like good things make me feel really good.
Agreed. And it's like this, you kind of like, you feel when you're a highly sensitive person, you feel deeply, and very often you do feel that energy of others, whether you want to say that, you know, it's an empath quality or not, but you feel that joy, you feel that joy that that person's feeling, and then you feel that joy for them.
Yeah.
And that can work the same way. That can work the same way of like crying when someone's crying over sadness or just like enjoying that moment with someone. Like being able to share an emotion with someone, that's what a gift that is.
I know. True connection.
And it's funny. I have been in rooms with people. This is actually kind of funny to flip the script a bit. Like, let's say I'm at a meeting for one of my students that has disabilities, and we have to have like a big meeting at least once a year to kind of go over their goals and progress. And sometimes it's intense. And sometimes like the parent will get emotional and cry. And I am literally in it with them. Like if they're crying, I am crying. Mm. Sometimes I cry before they're even crying because I'm so proud of the child's progress. And then I'll look around the room and I'll be like, why aren't you all crying? Right? Like, how can you be in the presence of somebody who's crying and not cry with them? Like, I just have been like this my whole life. I don't know any other way to be. And I'm not sure that in that way, I don't want to be any other way because I want to be able to share that experience and that tenderness with people.
Yeah, I 100% understand that. And it's funny that you're saying this because something that I've noticed about myself is, like I just said, I will be crying of happiness. If somebody's crying of sadness around me, I have this like block where like I will not, and I bet you this is society that did this to me, but like, I will not let my weakness show. If somebody else is crying for some reason, I'll be happy, happy tears. But if somebody's sad, it's like, I've got this,
you get like stoic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I'm there to listen. I'm there to hug. I'm there not to cry. Maybe it's the Aquarius in me. I don't freaking know, but it's so interesting.
Yeah.
And it's the Cancer in you.
Maybe, definitely. So here's what we kind of came up with, just this idea of just helping us process through this, through these intense emotions that we feel, whether they're physically, emotionally, socially. The first and foremost, I think we've talked about, is just noticing and acknowledging. Mm-hmm. Noticing, hey, I seem to have a deeper reaction to this than the average person, or hey, I noticed this about myself. Mm-hmm. Just like you said, like I notice that, like, I'm speaking for you, Char, like you said, I notice that I'm more like my mom than I realize. Like, that's such a beautiful thing. And then acknowledging, like, oh, I understand why I feel certain ways, and now I can understand why she felt certain ways.
Yeah.
I think it's really important.
Yep. I also think like catching it mid, like mid thought, where it's like, okay, if I'm judging myself for feeling this, it's like, whoop, like catching it, like you're catching a butterfly with a net. Like, I've identified the fact that I'm being judgmental towards myself about feeling, quote unquote, too sensitive.
Yeah. Hearing that internal dialogue that's negative toward yourself, it's so important.
Yeah.
Because then you get to change the narrative, just like we're talking about here. You get to switch it up a little bit and make it and reframe it in something more positive.
Yeah.
And then this is something that I'm really bad at. Well, let me reframe that. This is something I'm continuing to work on.
Love it.
Giving myself loving time to work through however I'm feeling. Mm. I'm sure you feel that with the food poisoning. You just want it to be freaking over, right?
Yeah. I text you every single time like, this is happening again.
Yeah.
And, but yeah, just giving ourselves time to not only work through, if it's physical, the physical, but also just the emotional, being like, this is how I feel. Boop, I'm catching it. Maybe I'm reframing it, but I'm also just experiencing it. I'm letting it move through my body so it doesn't get stuck.
Yeah. I think that's so hard, but so essential to practice and to notice and to just give it its time, whatever it is, give the feeling, the sensation, the physical, even the pain, just give it time to work through.
Yeah.
Cause that resistance, pain time resistance equals suffering. Season one. I saw something recently, pain times resistance equals suffering. Pain times acceptance equals freedom.
Love,
right?
Yep.
So if I accept my high sensitivities to certain things, then there's this a sense of liberation that comes from that knowledge and that acceptance.
Yeah, that radical self-acceptance that can be so difficult, but so freeing.
Yeah. It's really hard to accept, you know, all parts of who you are.
Yeah.
But it's essential, because just like it said, we kind of said, like, being a highly sensitive person offers a lot of strengths and wonderful things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's a gift. It's a challenge and it's a gift.
Yeah.
Highly sensitive people unite.
Woo! We got you.
We're all in it together.
We hope this resonated with you. And if not, maybe just opened up your mind and hearts to a different way of viewing others.
Yeah. So remember, turn off those fluorescent lights.
Please.
Put some lamps on and whisper around us. Just kidding.
Oh my God. Now people, when they're around us, are going to be like, am I contributing to their sensitivity?
No, we're good. We got this. We are self-aware and we will excuse ourselves if we need to.
There we go.
So we're going to excuse ourselves from this episode. We will catch you in the last episode of season 3. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Bye, everybody.
We hope you loved that episode of Stronger Together.
And if you did, can you please share it with your friends and your family and your neighbors?
Yes, help us get this out there so that we can connect with more people.
And guess what? Spotify allows you to rate now. So if you're listening on Spotify, can you please rate for us? And Apple Podcasts lets you review. So review.
5 stars on Spotify and tell us what you love about the podcast. We are so happy that you're part of this community.
We love you.